Amen.
Turn to Bibles tonight, the book of Hebrews. Proverbs. Let's stick to Proverbs tonight. Proverbs in chapter 10. And last week we covered one verse. We just got one verse last week. I mean, we covered a lot of other verses, but it was really process. Really, I think it took us 2 weeks to get through that one verse. So anyway, we're on verse chapter 10, verse 2 and 3 tonight. We're going to look here at verse 2. It says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked." So we want to begin tonight with this. Number one, wicked gain. Wicked gain. So wealth which is gotten unjustly, that's our blank there, unjustly, will do you no good. And this is what Solomon is getting into this thing to pass it on to his sons. And the Lord has given this to pass this wisdom on to us, is this thing of wicked gain he's going to be talking about. This wealth that's gotten in an unjust, or that's gotten unjustly, will do you no good. Okay? It's going to do you no good. Number one, when profit and loss are balanced, there'll be much more loss than gain. Now, by the way, we're not just talking about financially. You understand? We're not talking about financials. There's many people that have gained a lot of money, but have lost a lot. Family, friends, life, years. You know, what's the value of time, right? Well, when you're young, it's cheap. When you're young, time is cheap. You're like, I got all the time in the world. I'm just waiting for time to go. And as you get older and older, time becomes more and more valuable. But sometimes time is valuable, and the other things that we lose that we can't get back. And sometimes people have looked and said, I have a good friend that he realized he was in the Air Force, and he had just made tech sergeant. His career was going, but what he realized, he wasn't there for the birth of his children. A lot of the loss of the time he spent, and his kids were getting raised without him. And he was a flyer and was always gone. And he said, you know, and so he goes to get out. And everybody said, you're almost there to retirement and all the things. So what, are you crazy? He said, yeah, I'm crazy for keeping doing this. And so listen, I'm saying sometimes when it's the balance is there of what I've gained and what we've lost, often for that which is gotten in an unjust way, it just doesn't. There's going to be more loss there than gain. Number two, wicked gain is profit that is taken at someone else's hurt. It's gain. It's this wicked gain is profit that's taken at someone else's hurt. Over there in Proverbs chapter 1. So we're getting into these. As we get further into Proverbs, that we're going to see, we're going to deal with some of these things that Solomon is very redundant through the book of Proverbs. So he says something and he says it again and he talks about it some more. And we're going to find it. It's kind of going to be back and forth with these topics that he's dealing with. And so Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." And so, listen, it comes at this kind of wicked gain. It comes at someone else's hurt. And so, under that, the idea here is of a deception that is driven by greed. Greed will cause us to do some really bad stuff. And greed isn't as sometimes we want to think of greed as being a really huge, terrible thing, or what I mean is only the really terrible stuff. Not even the little things we get greedy of. Sometimes, you know, you ever seen somebody get greedy at a four-way stop? You know what I mean? I hate this. I pull up. You know, I pull up and I'm there. And so I'm pulling up. As I'm pulling up, this happens just tonight. It happens every day at the four-way stop I go to. I'm pulling up. And so as I'm pulling up, the car from this side is going, right? So I'm waiting for them to go. And then the guy behind them goes next. And I'm just like, I should just keep my hands on the wheel. But I'm just like, greedy. And sometimes you see them. You ever see people fly through traffic? They're cutting through traffic. Dangerous, crazy. And then, like, you know, 30 seconds later, you're like right on their bumper anyway. They didn't get anywhere. You know what I mean? It's, but, you know, so greed isn't just really terrible things. I'm going to go steal people's stuff. I'm just talking greed. There's this thing of taking what somebody else is and it's someone's hurt. And the but it's deception that's. And then you ever got in a conversation with somebody and you know the truth and we just all seen it like, no, it was my turn. I got a camera in my car. I could, you know, we could replay that, the red flag, you know what I'm saying? We can replay that thing. And you're like, and they'll start deceiving. You're like, you've deceived your own self. Because we all just know it's the truth. And it becomes this thing where I got to get it and tell it. I didn't know anybody else wanted it, you know, And so there becomes deception that goes with this thing. So be under that. The great desire is to have what? More. Right? Hey, you know when more is enough for greedy? Never. There's never enough for the greedy. You got all this stuff. I mean, you got everything, but there's still a little bit more to get. So it's this thing. The great desire to have more at any cost. At any cost. So again, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11. It says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And then in verse 18 it says, And they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Listen, under that, it will not purchase true comfort or happiness. None of this wicked gain, none of this kind of way will ever purchase what we want. I wonder sometimes with this kind of thing if it's not even about comfort and happiness anymore. It just becomes about the getting, right? And you see, wealthy people are some of the greediest. Well, the reason they're rich is because they keep what they got. No, they're just greedy. They want more. More. By the way, I'm not saying every rich person is a bad person. Don't do that. Okay? I'm talking about wicked gain. Getting it at someone else's cost. And we're going to talk about something a little bit more than that in a moment. But number one, the temporal bliss will quickly fade away. Proverbs 13 and verse 11. It says it this way, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So number two there, when labor is the method of gain, there is an increase in value. So we're talking about here the difference between a wicked gain and that which is gained by labor, right? I was reading this thing. I think it's a joke. I'm sure it's a joke, but I want to leave it out there a little bit just in case, just make you wonder. It was somebody talking about filing taxes, right? And it says, if you sold any illegal drugs this past year, you need to claim that as income, you know? And particularly this year, the second one was a big. It says if you stole anything this year, you need to claim the value of that as income on your taxes. unless you returned those items to the original owner before the end of the year. I mean, this year, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there'd be a lot of people this year that have to claim some stolen goods. Anyway, I don't think anybody's doing that. But when labor is the method of gain, there's an increase of value. A, under that, there is personal value, self-respect and dignity that results. You know, what we've done in this country, and I'm not trying to say, but this is a thing that's happened, where with our welfare system, what we've done for some folks is we've actually paid them more, given them insurance, given them housing, given them food, given them everything, given them money, given them all this to stay at home and not work. And what they do is they raise a generation that continues that, but they're people full of loss. I mean, they're not a happy member of society. They're a miserable lot, really. They are. And then you got the other. I've seen people in that same environment that says, "No, I'm going to go work a job, minimum wage somewhere," and they're making less money, have a less life financially, but there's more gain. There's more gain because there's something about that labor, that something that we've done something with our hands and with our life to gain something. Number three, under that, but the wealth gotten by vanity shall decrease. It shall decrease. The wealth that's gotten by that vanity shall decrease. Verse chapter 21 and verse 6, it says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." It's not a settled life. It's full of emptiness. To and fro, trying to find an answer, trying to find some hope, trying to look for something. It is hoping on that which is temporal to supply the eternal. And what I mean by that is this: it's when somebody thinks that if I can find happiness now, it's going to give me happiness for the future. I'm going to be so worried about finding this happiness now in ill-gotten gains. Well, man, you know, you're going to be a concert. I don't know. I don't care. As long as I have it now. There's a payday. Not a good payday. There's a payday for that comes down the road. And that when you get down the road and you find yourself there and then you wished I wouldn't have done that, you can't buy that time back. Right, it's a miserable thing. It's one that's very, very unsettled. See, but it only ends in death. Only ends in death, and you mean stealing ends in death? Taking people's stuff? Well, if they shoot you, it does. But we're talking about more than that. See, it will not profit before the Lord in the judgment day. Look at chapter 11. So he's dealing with more than just a physical thing. He's talking about the spiritual situation. Verse 4, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." So what is gained, those ill-gotten gains, will not counterbalance the loss. I mentioned that already. Let's look for a moment. We're going to be back here in Proverbs chapter 10. If you got one of the strings, keep that there. Let's go over to Matthew 16 just for a moment. I know we're flipping pretty quick, but if you can, stay with us. If not, listen double hard. Amen? So Matthew 16, verse 26. I want to look it up. I want to go into the New Testament because this is a verse that Jesus spoke that really has some substance to it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. He said, "For what is the man profited if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Listen, he's talking about, and there's a spiritual principle. It's not just a physical principle. It's not just greediness makes you empty. It won't find happiness. Not just that. But imagine there comes a point when somebody thinks, by getting this, I'll be happy, and later on I'll still be happy. It's a really I think sometimes we don't realize what we're doing is we're developing a pattern for life, for our life. So the things that we do, you know, we don't compartmentalize our life as well as we think we do in this area. We think, well, I do this stuff, but just in this area, you know. Over here in my spirit, my relationship with God, it's different. No, it doesn't work like that, right? We're a whole being. That's not what I do here develops habits. You know, well, I just do this at home. You know, I just talk to my family like this. But I'm not like that with other people. Well, it will bleed over. You understand? And by the way, you know, I just do this at work, or I just do this with these people, or listen, it's something that begins to seep into our whole life. And so this thing that Solomon's trying to deal with is this thing of. You say, son, listen. By the way, I don't think he was saying his son was doing this stuff. A lot of this, I mean, because he gets into some very grotesque things in the book of Proverbs. He's not saying his son is his son, or that all of us are doing all these things. He said, but here's some wisdom. Some wisdom. I want you to think about this. Some things that are involved here. And so number two under that, they will stand there before the Lord with nothing. No profit, no gain, no substance. God casts it all away. God casts it all away. That's what he said in Proverbs chapter 10. That's back where we started. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Could you imagine somebody thinking because they had wealth in this life, that it's going to give them any opportunity for heaven? Could you imagine somebody that's been successful, financially successful in this life, thinking, well, certainly I'm going to heaven, right? I mean, I think us in this room would say, well, duh. You know, nobody thinks like that, don't they? A lot of people think like that. Which brings us to number two. God doesn't regard our gain. Listen, when a rich person walks in, God's like, "Woo-hoo! Woo! This is going to be exciting." No. God is not as interested. God is not interested in what you have. Well, I know a lot of preachers are. I don't think so. Maybe if they do, then that's the wrong place to be, you know. I don't think God believes at any point that any kind of wealth buys us influence in a church. Doesn't buy us influence with God, right? Hey, this life is not going to be measured by what we have gained in this world. Number one, really quite the opposite. It's really quite the opposite. It will be measured by what we have given. By what we have given. There's a lot of words that could have fit in there, but given is what I want to use. Rather what we have built for Christ. Now we're going to go back to the New Testament again. 1 Corinthians. And so, by the way, Jesus Christ is the Word. So he's from Proverbs all through the whole book. Amen. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says it this way, verse 9. He says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." So, certainly, The first thing that will be regarded by God is what the foundation of our life was. When we stand before the Lord, right? When we get up there to the pearly gates of heaven and Michael the archangel is standing there. No, I don't think that's really the case, but that's how the joke goes, you know. But when we get there and we stand before the Lord, the first thing that's going to even be, by the way, if we're even at that judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be what our foundation was. By the way, nobody's going to get at... there's so much, I don't want to get into all that, but there's going to be two judgments, right? Judgment for those that are with Christ, right? And it's going to be a rewards judgment, what that's talking about. Then there's going to be another judgment, those that are without Christ. It's going to be a damnation judgment, okay? So I want to get into all that tonight, but I do want to at least say that there. So, verse 11, the first thing God's going to be interested in is our foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, without the foundation of Jesus Christ, all that we have done will be cast away. If we don't have Him, we can't build on it. I mean, He's the foundation. If we're not building on Him, it's the sinking sand. It's gone away. It's just, you're not really building. You're building. You're stacking up on something. It's always going to fall. It's going to sink. It's nothing. You can't build on nothing, right? So number two, but from that foundation, there is a regard for what we have built. But look here, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So he talks about there are six qualities or sorts of building blocks. He said, here's the thing. There is some gain that God will regard that's going to matter in heaven. Amen. Can you send it forward? Amen. Lay up your treasures in heaven, right? Where moth and rust can't corrupt, right? The thieves cannot break in and steal. I mean, listen, this is a place is what he's talking about. So these will be those six sorts. He kind of breaks them into these things that of building blocks. These will be observed on that day in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So on that day, what was done in righteousness will be revealed. It's going to be revealed. We can fool the world. People are good. People are good at fooling everyone around them, you know. We call this a hypocrite, right? They're good, like, oh yeah, they're good folks, and yeah, they're really. You ever talked about somebody, knew somebody, said, oh, they're really good people. And then one day they did something, you're like, whoa, can I take back my compliment? I had somebody. Here we have this kind of deal that people do sometimes, and they'll say this thing about somebody. Will mention, yeah, I know that. Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's a good brother. Really love the guy, and this and that. Don't really know him that well. You like. Visit him, and you put a commendation on him, and find out, and later on down the road, this guy goes off the deep end, and he's just kind of, and somebody says, wow, I guess, and now, you know what I'm thinking? Now the next time you say somebody's really good, brother, I'm thinking, I don't believe you at all. We ought to make sure before we put our mark on somebody, we know them a little bit, right? But listen, the we can fool the world, we can fool our friends, we can fool ourselves. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Aren't you good? Yeah, I've done a lot of good things. Yeah, I'm good. Right? We'll do that kind of thing to ourselves. But on that day, all will be manifested. All will be revealed by fire. Verse 14, it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, this will be a day of reward and loss. That day, that judgment seat of Christ. We stand before Him. Those that are in Christ, those that have received, have the foundation of Jesus Christ. Those that are saved are going to stand there before that day. And all the works that we've done, it's going to be all these things that we did for the Lord. All these things that, by the way, these aren't evil things. These are things, these aren't the wicked thing. These are what we've done in righteousness. Those are going to be piled in a heap there. I think we're all, I kind of just imagine this a little bit. We're all standing there by our piles and be like, it's a pretty good pile. Right? Somebody else could be over there like, yeah, my pile's bigger than their pile. You know what we're going to do? We're going to look around. We're going to compare our pile to other people's pile. You know what I mean? You know we are. We're going to be looking and be like, okay, all right, I'm all right, okay. And then you can look over like down yonder and be like, oh man, their pile's huge. You know? And then you look at all these, they didn't have much. You kind of pop your chest out a little bit. You're like, okay, I'm all right, right? And then the fire comes. And what's left after the fire is going to be a different deal. That's really what's left. And that's, there's going to be some loss. Some of those things that we did that looked good, we, you know, maybe it wasn't bad. It just wasn't really for him. It was for this guy. So people would look at this guy and it ain't gonna hold through the fire. It's like wood, hay, and stubble. It's just going to be burned up, gone. But number one, the believer in Christ will still enter into eternity, right? So we're not in. We don't go into heaven because of that pile of stuff that we've done, right? We're already in there. But he says there, but yet so as by fire. What a loss it would be to complete this life with nothing but an entrance into heaven. That's it. That's it. You're going to spend all eternity with what could fit in your hand. Pile of dust. I used to say, well, I'd rather be a street sweeper in heaven than, you know, than living it up in hell. Because there ain't no living it up in hell. Anybody who would say that is, I would say, is nigh unto a fool. To say, I want to spend, I know I'm going to spend all eternity with God. And I want to be there with nothing to show that him that I loved him with, that I did for him. No sacrifice, nothing. Well, I made it. I don't think that's going to be a good day. You know, the Bible later on talks about the end of Revelation, says it's going to be a day they're going to wipe away all tears. I think those are our tears. I really believe that. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I think those tears are going to be wiped away. I think there's going to be a lot of tears that day. I wished I would have. We're going to be there when those people are plunged in to all eternity, separated from God, and maybe there'll be people. I guarantee there's going to be people we knew. I don't get all that tonight. Number two, it is so worth it to be honest and diligent in labor for gain in this life. It's so worth it. We're in this for the long game. Amen? We're not in it for right now. It's... So, hey, let's pass on righteousness. Let's pass on this righteousness, this just wisdom. And ill-gotten gains sometimes feel pretty nice right now. Look what I got. You ever rip somebody off? No, don't raise your hand. But you ever rip somebody off and you know you ripped them off? You kind of feel good about it? I got a good price on this, or I didn't have to pay them much, and you kind of really feel good about it. But over there to them, you're like, yeah, it was tough. I don't know. We could, you know, and you kind of do this thing, and then by the time you're done, you walk away like, yeah, and then later on you're like, yeah, I really got it. So it feels good for a little bit, doesn't it? It feels good to really get the best deal and somebody else get the worst deal. But we're in the long game. Let's pass on this thing of righteous labor. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, we all are wrapped in this human flesh that is just so given, so given to greed. Lord, we're given to all these desires of this human nature. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to covet a righteous life, not just now, but for all eternity. Lord, those things that we can accomplish now will not go with us. Lord, thank you for conviction of this, your word, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to be what you desire us to be. Lord, we'll give you the thanks, we'll give you the praise for it now, and in Jesus' name.